It's here and now. Orange is the New Black is the new House of Cards. House of Cards, of course, one of the first Netflix original productions to scoop up Emmy nominations. Orange, the latest show, is the color of the uniform worn by real-life Piper Kerman as she began her 13-month prison term.
Pretty big case. Criminal conspiracy.
That's what they charged me with. I carried a suitcase of money. Drug money. Once. 10 years ago.
Piper's memoir is the basis of the show. In it, she introduces us to the women, mostly low income, that she met in prison and now advocates for. And Piper Kerman joins us from New York. Welcome.
Hi, Robin. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? What is it like to see your story play out on the screen and actually a lot of people are watching it?
Well, it's completely thrilling and it's definitely quite surreal. The show is an adaptation. It is not sort of a biopic or a docudrama. So there are many, many departures actually from, you know, this sort of true story that's depicted in the book. But I couldn't be more pleased with what a fabulous job Jenji Kohan and the entire team did on the show.
Jenji Kohan, the person behind The Weeds' success. And this has that same kind of feel, a woman in an unexpected role. Let's just go back and talk about that. You went to Smith College after school, became involved with a woman who we and you later learn is a drug dealer. Now, you are a very smart woman. Why did you decide to carry money for your girlfriend?
Well, as you describe, Robin, you know, when I was in my very early 20s, sort of floundering around, like many young people do, when my lover, in fact, said to me, I need you to do this. I need you to carry this bag of money from Chicago to Brussels. I didn't feel like I could say no. I felt like I was really in deep into what had seemed like this big adventure, but was really quickly becoming a very frightening situation.
So it was scary.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that was a real moment where I realized that I had to get myself out of this situation, you know, sort of cut all ties and really felt like I had put that experience in the lockbox and shoved it to the back of the closet and that it was behind me.
But no.
But no, yeah, exactly. The consequences of our actions come back to us one way or the other. And in my case, it came in the form of, you know, that pounding knock on the door, you know, federal agents showing up many years later.
I think it was 10 years later, and the statute was 12 years. But then there's that knock on the door, and you're indicted. Did she rat you out?
You know, the truth is, to this very day, I don't know who first gave my name to the authorities. One of the things that became clear to me during that year in prison is that it doesn't really matter. The most important thing, the most empowering thing, actually in a lot of ways, is to take responsibility for your own actions.
Well, so you do. You go off to prison. And by the way, you're now dating Larry, who's now your husband at this point in the story. So I just want to pick up there for a second. I've been hearing people say on talk shows, on our sister show On Point, a caller called in, how excited they are to see a bisexual character portrayed.
I think that's great. Human sexuality is complex and varied and really interesting. And I think the more sort of portrayals that are nuanced and different than what we often see on television, I think that's fantastic.
Well, here you are in this relationship with Larry in this point in the story when you go off to prison. What are you thinking as you're going off to prison?
Between the day that I found out I'd been indicted and the day that I walked through prison gates, almost 6 years elapsed, during which I was quite clear on the fact that I was going to go to prison. So, you know, that day that I self-surrendered in Danbury, Connecticut, on some, even though I was terrified, really scared, I was also really ready to get it over with by then. That said, you know, prison is terrifying. As I sort of went through the processing, you know, process, as they sort of literally strip you down, take everything you've got right down to your underpants and dress you in the garb of a prisoner, you know, I, of course, got more and more scared.
Lift up your arms. Turn around. Squat. Spread your cheeks and cough.
Seriously?
And then I was put into general population with all of these other women, these hundreds of other women with whom I would be living for the next year. And I was frightened. And so the last thing that I expected was for them to say things like, do you need some toothpaste? Do you need a cup of coffee? Are you okay?
Well, and yet there were tensions. Let's talk about race in prison. Your character gets a tour when you first go to prison from another white woman. Let's listen.
Yeah, there's some tissues. First night's always had. And a toothbrush. I don't give you one.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for everything.
Aw, no, it's no problem. We look out for our own.
Our own?
Oh, don't get LPC on me. It's tribal, not racist. I'll see you around.
Those first few days in prison and that welcome wagon phenomenon was very segregated. You know, white prisoners take care of the welcome wagon requirements for, you know, new arrivals who are Caucasian, and black prisoners take care of their own, quote unquote, same with Latino prisoners. And then, of course, there are folks who don't fit into those categories. You know, there was an Indian woman, there was one Chinese woman, and I always, you know, wondered what it was like to have such a singular relationship in a place that had this really heavy-handed organizing principle. The truth is that the longer I lived within this community of women, the less important those defining characteristics of race were, and the more important other things were, like where did you work and who did you work with and where did you live? You know, in my case, I lived in the predominantly African-American dorm.
What did you learn about women in prison that maybe you didn't know or maybe reaffirmed what we do think?
You know, I think that one of the things that was really interesting to me were the ways that sort of the womanly arts, if you will, you know, cooking, crocheting, you know, sewing, all of those things sort of come into play in surprising ways.
You also get the sense that at least a part of the prison culture is almost generational. There's a scene, you're coming in with two other women, and another prisoner just walks up and slaps one of the young women.
Friend of yours?
No. It's my mom.
That's a very truthful scene, meaning that, you know, in the course of my year in prison, there were many, many pairs of sisters or cousins or, in one case, a mother and daughter, you know, locked up in the same prison together. The other thing that takes place, though, sort of mirroring that, is that prisoners sort of organize themselves into informal families, adoptive families. And, you know, the phenomenon of, you know, someone's prison mom or prison daughter is really consistent and widespread.
Well, you had a prison wife. You don't want to give too much away, but obviously there's tension. But there's also things that, you know, people might think are stereotypical of prison. There's sex in the shower cells. There are predatory guards. Do you think the show got it right? And were you worried that they might immediately go from, wow, a book about women in prison, let's make it as salacious as possible?
So it's unsurprising to me that any of those things are front and center in this show. And I think that the thing that the show does, which was exactly what I was trying to do with my book, is to make much more multifaceted the viewer's understanding of who's in prison in this country, why are they there, what are the pathways that led them into prison, and what really happens to them there, you know, and the conditions of confinement are really different than what some folks assume.
That's Piper Kerman. Her book is Orange is the New Black. It's the basis of the new Netflix hit of the same name. Piper, thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Robin.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, offering a variety of insurance products, including auto, renters, boat, and motorcycle. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.